Part 5. Low Magic. Facilis descensus averno, noctes atque dies patet atri iannua ditis. The gates of hell are open night and day. Smooth the descent, and easy is the way. Virgil, the Aeneid. Besides the great operations of ritual magic, necromancy, and psychic attack, there are numerous processes of a comparatively minor and vulgar order, often classed as low magic. These processes do not demand the knowledge, persistence, and dedication required for the operations of ritual magic, but they follow sound magical principles. Many of them are ways of gaining another person's complaisance and love. A simple medieval method is to buy a small hand mirror without haggling. Take the mirror out of its frame and write the name of the girl you desire 3 times on the back of the glass. Then find 2 dogs which are copulating and hold the mirror in such a way that they are reflected in it. Hide the mirror for 9 days in a place which the girl passes frequently, and afterwards carry it with you and she will submit to you. What you have done is to create a magical link between the girl, the sex act which you captured in the mirror, and yourself, the mirror's owner. An unpleasant charm intended for a woman who wants to ensnare a man allows her to get literally under his skin by feeding him the products of her body. She takes a very hot bath and afterwards, while perspiring profusely, covers herself all over with flour. When the flour is thoroughly saturated, she wipes it off with a white linen cloth, which she wrings out into a baking dish. She cuts her finger and toenails, adds hairs from all parts of her body, burns them to a powder, and mixes it with the floury liquid in the dish. Then she stirs in an egg, bakes the mixture in the oven, and serves it to the man of her choice. In using hair or other parts of the body, it is essential to make sure that they come from the right person, as is suggested by the cautionary tale of John Fion, schoolmaster of Saltpans in Lothian, which is told in a pamphlet of 1591, News from Scotland. Fion conceived a passion for the older sister of one of his pupils, and persuaded the little boy to bring him 3 of her pubic hairs. When the boy tried to take these hairs from the sleeping girl, she woke and cried out. Their mother came in, and discovering what had happened, took 3 hairs from the udders of a young heifer, and gave them to the boy, who passed them on to Fion. Fion wrought his art upon them, and in a little while the heifer came to him, leaping and dancing upon him, and pursued him everywhere, to the great admiration of all the townsmen of Saltpans. Many love charms involve the use of supposedly aphrodisiac plants and herbs, which are powdered and put into the food or drink of the woman desired, or hidden in her room, or left in any place which she often passes. Recommended plants include lettuce, endive, purslane, valerian, jasmine, crocus, coriander, fern, and pansy. Cyclamen appears in love charms, perhaps because in classical times its roots were used as pessaries. The Enquiry into Plants says the roots should be burned and the ashes marinated in wine and formed into little balls. Periwinkle should be beaten into a powder, wrapped round with earthworms, and mixed with leeks. Laurel is used in love charms because chewing its leaves induces delirium. The Greeks thought the carrot attracted love, probably because of its shape. Poppy and deadly nightshade work not by inducing desire, but by drugging the victim to leave her helpless. The most powerful plant in love magic, and also the most dangerous to the operator, is the poisonous mandrake, Atropa mandragora. Atropa refers to Atropos, the oldest of the 3 fates, whose shears sever the thread of each man's life when his time comes. The meaning of mandragora is not known. It is a pre-Greek word, possibly coming from Asia Minor or Persia originally. The mandrake has magical power because its root often resembles a human body. Writing in the 12th century, Hildegard of Bingen said that, quote, because of this likeness which it has to man, it is more amenable to the influence of the devil and his wiles than other plants, unquote. Mandrakes were classified as male or female. The male is white mandragora, which has a thick root, black outside and white inside. Its leaves spread out close to the ground, and it has heavily scented blossoms and yellow berries, which have a soporific effect if eaten, and were used as a narcotic and anesthetic. The female black mandragora is similar, but its root is often forked. There is also a third type, called morion, or fool's herb. The root of the mandrake contains a narcotic juice, which, distilled in wine, can cause death, insanity, or delirium. The Greeks regarded it as a highly dangerous plant, and the Enquiry into Plants says that anyone who wants to dig one up should draw three circles round it with a sword and face west. His assistant should dance round the plant, whispering erotica to it. The root was used to cure gout and insomnia, but principally in love potions. One of Aphrodite's titles was Mandragoritis. Later, the belief grew up that it was too dangerous for a human being to drag the mandrake out of the ground. In the dark of night, the earth must be carefully loosened around the root, and a string tied from the root to the neck of a black dog. The operator then moves well away and throws pieces of meat to the dog just out of reach. Straining to get the meat, the dog pulls the mandrake out of the ground. The operator must cover his ears, or better still, stuff them with wax or cotton, because as it is torn from the earth, the mandrake utters a terrible cry which no one can hear and live. The dog is killed by the mandrake's screech and is buried in its place. Later still, it was believed that the mandrake grows from the moisture which drops from a hanged man on the gallows. The basis of this belief may be the fact that a man who is hanged frequently ejaculates. His semen, falling to the ground, would provide suitable nourishment for a plant effective in love magic. Once out of the ground, the mandrake should be washed in wine every Friday evening and wrapped in a red or white silk cloth, renewed each new moon. It answers all questions put to it, keeps its owner's enemies at bay, and induces pregnancies in barren women. Any gold coin left beside it overnight will be doubled by the morning. The Grimorium Verum provides a method of making yourself invisible, which is often quoted. Begin on a Wednesday before sunrise with 7 black beans and the head of a dead man. Put 1 bean in the head's mouth, 2 in its eyes, 2 in its ears. The grimoire does not account for the other 2 beans, but presumably they go in the nostrils. Trace a pattern of your own design on the head with your fingers and bury it in the ground facing upwards. Water it with good brandy every morning before sunrise. On the 8th day, as you are doing this, a spirit will appear and say, "What are you doing?" You reply, "I am watering my plant." The spirit will ask you for the brandy bottle, telling you that he wants to do the watering himself, but you must refuse. If you persist in refusing, he will show you the pattern which you traced on the head. You can now be certain that this is the spirit of the head and not a deceiving spirit. Give him the bottle and let him water the head. Next morning, the 9th day, the beans will be sprouting. Take them, put them in your mouth, and look in a mirror. You should see no reflection of yourself, because the beans carry the invisibility of the dead and buried head. Do not swallow the beans, as you can only become visible again by taking them out of your mouth. The same grimoire gives a method of harming an enemy. Dig up an old coffin in a graveyard and remove the nails from it, saying, "Nails, I take you so that you may serve to turn aside and cause evil to all persons whom I will, in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Then find a footprint which has been made by your enemy. Drive one of the nails into the footprint, saying, "Pater noster upto in terra." This seems to be an appeal to the devil, meaning, "Our Father who art on earth," in parody of the Lord's Prayer. Hammer the nail well in with a stone and say, "Cause harm to N until I remove thee." The only way to call off this spell is to pull the nail out again and say, "I remove thee so that the evil which thou hast caused to N shall cease, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen." Finally, a useful magical implement is a hand of glory, which enables the magician to rob people's houses with impunity. It is the hand of a man who died by hanging, and it holds a candle made of his fat, the light of which prevents anyone who sees it from moving. The Little Albert, Marvelous Secrets of the Natural and Kabbalistic Magic of Little Albert, published in 1722, says that the hand must be cut from the corpse and wrapped in a piece of winding sheet. It is squeezed thoroughly to make sure that all the blood has drained from it. Then it is pickled for 15 days in an earthenware jar with pounded salt, peppercorns, saltpeter, and zimort or zimat, but it is not known what this is. The hand is afterwards dried in the heat of the sun during the dog days, from July 3rd to August 11th, when the dog star, Sirius, rises and sets with the sun. The influence of the sun is probably intended to contribute to the dazzlingness of the hand's light and the influence of the dog star to its dangerous and frightening quality. It was believed that dogs were dangerous and liable to rabies during the dog days. If the sun's heat is not sufficient, the hand is heated in a furnace fed by bracken and vervain. The fat which runs from the hand is collected and mixed with wax to make a candle, which is stuck between the dead hand's fingers. The lifelessness and bloodlessness of the hand reach any observer through the light of the candle and strike him as motionless as the dead. The Hand of Glory is not a mere figment of Little Albert's imagination. Writing in the mid-15th century, Petrus Mamoris said that some people, quote, carry with them the hand of a corpse to which the sacraments have been applied, and with which they make the sign of the cross in reversed fashion over some sleeper, causing him to sleep for a whole day without waking, so that they may rob his house at leisure, unquote. In 1831, burglars broke into a house at Lochcrew, County Neath, in Ireland, armed with a dead man's hand which clutched a lighted candle. But the hand failed to work. The alarm was given, and the burglars ran away, leaving the hand behind them. A gang of poisoners out to collect life insurance, who committed several murders in Philadelphia in 1939, used the Hand of Glory to terrify witnesses and victims. In this case, it was believed that the hand could be used to kill or injure. It was sometimes an actual human hand, severed at the wrist and mummified, or was made of bone or ivory, with the thumb and the two middle fingers folded onto the palm, the index and little fingers pointing up like a pair of horns, which is traditionally a sign of the devil. The hand with three fingers closed and two open is devilish because it denies the three and affirms the two. In most of the processes in the grimoires, demons are subordinate to the magician or can be subordinated. But there is another group of rituals in which the force of evil is master and is worshipped, those connected with the pact with the devil, the witch's Sabbath, and the Black Mass.